This is Audible.
Treasure Island, an Audible original drama by Robert Louis Stevenson. Dramatized for audio by Marty Ross. A wireless theatre production in association with Audible Studios.
Chores need him done. A world of them. That poor old inn won't run itself, you know, not with your poor pa like he is.
I'm coming, Ma, I'm coming. I was just...
I know what you was just doing. Staring at that sea down there and dreaming about everything that isn't none of your business.
It's the sea, Ma. All my days stuck right next to it and never a chance to do nothing but look. Look out.
All my days indeed. Lad like you, more wet behind the ears than them waves out there. Try being your poor mother for a day. Or 16 years, come to that.
I won't spend my life mopping floors in the Admiral Benbow, Ma. I'll tell you that.
Oh, really? Where will you be? Out there floundering like a drowning man, calling for your mother?
Sailing, Ma. Sailing the whole world over, the whole bright, wide world of oceans and seas. Fishing, chasing whales, fighting wars, being a pirate.
A pirate? James Hawkins, you are altogether too young and naive to be climbing in a boat anytime soon. And I've been listening to too many old men's stories in the snug of the Admiral Benbow. Come back inside and get them pots clean and plug your ears among all them old soaks.
But there are pirates, Ma. I've heard tell.
You've heard a tale too many, I think. Enough of tales. Let's get that in tidy.
But there were pirates. And they came all the way to the door of the Admiral Benbow Inn, beginning with the brown old seaman with the sabre cut. And thus began my adventures.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
I remember him as if it were yesterday, as he came plodding to the inn door, his sea chest following behind him in a handbarrow.
Keep up there, lubber. There's more worth in that sea chest than in all your rattling old bones put together.
Well, you could give a fellow an hand.
Yeah, too late. We're here. Well, stir yourselves in there. Sailor and his cargo coming aboard. You there, lad. Here. Give this old boy with the handbarrow a hand before he bowls over altogether.
Yeah, I'll see.
Sir. A tall, strong, nut-brown man, his tarry pigtail falling over the shoulder of his soiled blue coat, his hands ragged and scarred, with black, broken nails, and the saber cut, across one cheek a dirty, livid white. He had rapped on the door, I saw, with a bit of stick like a handspike, and now called for...
Rum! Rum! Fetch this poor old sea dog a tot of rum and keep him above the ground one more night at least.
Jim? Jim, what's the commotion over here?
Father, this gentleman here, he...
Landlord?
That's me, sir.
Andy Cove, you're tucked in here, landlord.
Andy?
And a pleasant situated grog shop. Much company, mate. Much passing trade.
What you see, sir, more or less.
Don't look like much.
Take much, sir. It's killing me to keep it going this well. Fetch the gent his grog, Jim.
Well then, be heartened, sir, for this might just be the berth for me. When your lads fetch me rum, You can help this poor old bone rattler rattle my sea chest up the stairs to your best room.
Up the stairs?
You have a room, I take it. This might pass for your best, landlord.
Up top, I suppose.
Has a view, has it?
A view, yes.
Of what? The sea?
The sea, yeah.
Of the road?
The road? Yes, sir, you can see the road.
Both ways?
Both ways, sir.
Then it's the room for me. That my room, boy?
Yes, sir.
Grateful to you. Boundless, so. This your boy, landlord?
He is.
He's a fine young man, like his fine old father. Fine enough to help this old boy get my sea chest upstairs, eh?
On you go, Jim. Help him.
I'll follow you up presently. I'm a plain man, sir. Rum and bacon and eggs is what I want. And that window up there for to watch ships off. Furnish me that, sir. I'm a happy man.
We'll do that much at least, Mr...
Oh, you might call me Captain. And meanwhile, count yourself out these gold pieces here. And tell me when I work through them. Good enough to be going on with, landlord.
Here, I'll take those. You fetch the captain here another swallow of rum. Jim, get that chest upstairs.
Yes, ma'am.
Here we go. Captain? Captain? Captain of breaking my poor bloody back. That's the captain he is. Here, lad, take a bit more of the weight.
I'm trying, I just... Just drop it right over.
Drop it, I'll say. And may he drop in his grave just as hard.
Who is he? How did you get stuck dragging his trunk?
Mail coach just gone dumped him yesterday morning outside the Royal George. He swaggers around, showing off that scar, and asking what inns there were along the coast, in lonely places like. And, well, haven't I drunk my old head dizzy a time or two in the Admiral Benbow? So I takes his money and hauls that great bloody chest of his the length of this coast, and all the time regretting it. And not just on account of the weight of that wretched thing.
On account of what, then?
On account of that way him got of looking over his shoulder every turn of the road and putting an hand to his cutlass while he's at it. I tell you, young fellow, your new tenant ain't just looking for a cosy room. Him's after a hiding place.
A hiding place?
You're gossiping like a fishwife, you old soak.
What? No, no, sir, I was just...
Here! Stay yourself to pick that up. Then get yourselves down them stairs and out of my sight. The blinder drunk, the better.
Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. A pleasure, sir, a pleasure.
I'm sorry, sir, I'll just...
No, no. You stay. Jim, isn't it?
Yes, sir, Jim.
Well, close that door, Jim. Nice and soft. Will I take in this new berth of mine?
Sure.
Well, there she is. My little crow's nest. Window, I see, in its proper place. That a view out there, Jim, when the sun's up.
Sea's right down there, sir.
And the road right in front of it. That's good, Jim. That's just what I was after. Here's a drop of rain.
Weather gets going here, sir. You'll hear it.
I want to hear it, Jim. I want to hear all that goes on, and I want to hear it from you, lad.
From me, sir?
Here. Here, bud, catch. That's a silver fourpenny, Jim. And there'll be one of them shiners for you first of every month, if only you'll keep a sharp young weather-eye wide for any other nautical gentleman coming by. Will you, boy? Will you take that money off me?
I will, sir.
And will you, in particular, look out for... Come here, Jim. Closer. Closer.
Sir.
Will you, in particular, keep watch out for a seafaring man with one leg?
One leg.
That's right, Jim. A watch for him in particular. It'll be worth your while. And worth my while, God knows, to see him coming.
And you think he's coming here?
Well, keep your eyes open and we'll know, won't we? Now go, Jim. I've had a long, hard voyage to get here, and this old head of mine could do with drowning itself in sleep a while.
Sleep? Oh, yes, sleep.
Keep that eye open, Jim. For the one-legged man. Seafaring man with one leg. The one-legged man. One leg. One leg. A seafaring man with one leg.
How that one-legged man haunted my dreams, I need scarcely tell you. On stormy nights when the wind shook the four corners of the house and the surf roared along the cove and up the cliffs, I would see him in a thousand forms and with a thousand diabolical expressions.
One leg! One leg. A seafaring man with one leg.
Now the leg would be cut off at the knee, now at the hip. Now he was a monstrous kind of creature who had never had but the one leg, and that in the middle of his body. To see him leap and run and pursue me over hedge and ditch was the worst of nightmares. Altogether, I paid pretty dear for my monthly four-penny piece. In the shape of these abominable fancies.
There you are.
I was, however, far less afraid of the captain himself than anybody else who knew him. All day he hung round the cove or upon the cliffs with a brass telescope. All evening he sat in a corner of the parlour, next the fire, and drank rum and water very strong. Mostly he would not speak when spoken to, only look up sudden and fierce and blow through his nose like a foghorn. And we and the people who came about our house soon learnt to let him be. Every day when he came back from his stroll, he would ask if any seafaring men had gone by. When a seaman did put up at the Admiral Benbow, he would look in at him through the curtain door before he entered the parlour, and he was silent as a mouse when any such was present. And at odd but frequent moments, he would repeat his orders to look out for a seafaring man with one leg.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
There were nights when he took a deal more rum and water than his head would carry. And then he would sometimes sit and sing his wicked old sea songs, minding nobody.
Come on! Cheer on the latter, you're joining! Join in! Or have you never been to sea at all? Come on! The latter, you! Join in!
But sometimes he would call for glasses round and force all the trembling company to listen to his stories or bear a chorus to his singing, all the neighbours joining in for dear life with the fear of death upon them, and each singing louder than the other to avoid remark.
15 men of them stiff and stark, yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. 10 of the crew had the murder mark, yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
His stories were what frightened people worst of all.
And I swear to you, for I've seen it myself, you may sail them same waters on a calm and moonlit night, when the water round that reef is still and straight as a dead man's stare, and see there, amidst the wreck,
and the rotted spars of that long-sunk boat, the man himself. All surrounded with gold, except the gold is the gold of the coral, growing rich around his bones, and them glitterings in the water is but the sheen of the scales of the fish swimming about. Among them, maybe, the old barracuda that cleaned the flesh off them bones in the first place. Another tot of rum, Jim. Mind, that was hardly the worst death I saw a man die. I haven't told you, have I? Of Josiah Hopkirk. They had to walk the plank straight into the beak of the biggest octopus ever seen in northern waters. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. That beak, gentlemen, it did not simply bite and swallow him. It minced him, gents. Minced him!
Jim? Jim? Get over here and lend a hand. Jim!
Off you go, Jim. The next bit's got a lot of blood in it. Blood and entrails.
Jim!
I'm coming, Ma.
So he clung with his finger.
And hark at that, through there. That ain't no merchant seaman, retired or otherwise. Listen to them tales. Hanging, walking the plank. Dry Tortugas, the Spanish Main. You sound more like a...
No, don't you be mentioning that word under this roof.
This roof will fall in ruin if we have him shivering spines and bellowing shanties very much longer.
Well, you're the one who took him in. And for what kind of rent such as never gets paid 1 week to the next?
Well, I have asked him.
I've heard you asking. Like a whipped dog begging the chance to starve in its own kennel.
I've not been well.
And no wonder you don't take in enough bloody money to be healthy.
Now listen, woman.
What word?
What?
What word can't Pa speak or the roof falls in?
What?
Pirates!
What?
That was the cry! Pirates!
Oh, get in there for God's sake before someone takes him seriously and we're all ruined!
Yeah. Yeah, get in them. In there.
Pa?
Go on.
And no sooner had the dreaded word passed his lips than old Captain Flint's cutlass flashed in the air. And the feather's head went rolling the length of the deck, the rest of him dropping swift and twitching like a lobster in the cooking pot. And Captain Flint, he watched the blood course down his curvaceous blade and he said...
That's enough of that, sir.
What? No, 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 he didn't say that.
I said it, sir. Enough is enough. The Admiral Benbow is a respectable house and we won't go having any more of that... Privateer talking here.
Oh, I was just yarning.
Yarn or no yarn, we'll have no more of it.
And we'll have the rent you owe likewise.
Rent?
Ask him for the rent.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Now, there's several weeks.
Weeks? Months? Months? Tell him.
Yes, months. Months now, worth of...
And you shall have it. Every sovereign.
What? Have it.
Well, go on. Get it off him. Quick.
I don't have it ready to hand.
What?
What kind of a gentleman would I be to wander around with my pockets rattling and splitting with me a base cash? The money is forthcoming.
Forthcoming?
Indeed. From Bristol.
When? When from Bristol?
Why, the next tide. I don't doubt. And failing that, the tide following. Or the subsequent one to that. Within the month, certainly.
Within the... Evict him.
What?
Evict him. Go on!
What if he's...
What if I'm what?
Well, those stories.
Stories?
Really, you know...
A what, sir? A what? A sword here to draw against any false allegation.
You hear that?
Oh, my Lord. Oh, what's going on now?
Pa?
The sea. Shut out the sea. Keep out the...
There's no sea here, Mr. Hawkins. Not this side of the wall. Just a warm bed. Warmish. And a good wife to look after you. There. That's as much as I can do for him for the time being, Mrs. Hawkins. The most you can do is to keep him fed and watered and keep him clear of what are plainly trying times downstairs.
So he's to lie on his back and I'm to cope with everything? Is that it, Dr. Livesey?
You must perforce cope, Mrs. Hawkins, because you're strong and willful and in a position to cope. Your husband, on the other hand, is lying on his back because I suspect he will never be able to get up again.
Oh, I see.
You have the lad, haven't you?
What? Oh, Jim.
Lad, young man, rather. You can carry your share of the burden, can't you, Jim?
Me? Yes, sir.
Good. Then walk me downstairs and help me into the saddle. And I'll see if I can't clarify for you the details of that burden.
Go with the doctor, Jim.
Sir. You see, Mother, it's coming in. Creeping.
You poor wreck of a man. Stealing away like a coward and leaving me with all the strain. Where's that rough lad I married? Could bounce all this brand of trouble around on his shoulders. Where is he now? Where am I?
Dying. Dying, you mean?
I do, frankly. And I think, Jim, you're man enough to hear it and act accordingly. Which is why I'm being so blunt about
it. What's the mood in here, lads? Where do I find myself? A mausoleum? Let's strike up a song at least.
This, I take it, is the fellow who...
Yes, sir, that's him.
50 men on a dead man's chest. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of...
Irreducibly him. Now listen, Jim, the first thing you're going to have to attend to... Pay attention, Jim, please.
Drink! And devil, a dumb father. Oi, you there!
He's getting rid of that fellow before he...
Oi!
Yes, sir.
Silence there between decks.
Decks?
What happened is a sing-song. You hear? 15 men on a dead man.
I hear, sir.
Hear? Just what do you hear, sir?
You may make do with calling me doctor.
Oh, doctor. Hear for him upstairs, I take it.
Indeed.
And what's your diagnosis, doctor?
I diagnose he is less than fortunate in his tenants.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Still, there is some brighter news.
Indeed.
I surmise that if you keep on choking back the rum like you're doing right there, the world will soon be quit of a very dirty scoundrel.
What? What's that, Jim?
Captain, no.
What, no? No, Jim? What's an old sailor's knife for, if not to cut down to size a high and mighty landlubber likes of this? Hey, Doctor?
If you do not put that knife this instant in your pocket, I promise upon my honour you shall hang at the next assizes.
Assizes?
And you won't be cut down from there, I don't doubt, till the gulls have cleaned your bones.
Well, what kind of sailor would want to feed them blighters?
Captain, the knife, put it away.
There, Jim. It's away. And no harm done. I'm an old man who's took more than his fair share of knocks on rough seas. Quick to take offence, maybe. Slide another rum my way, and you'll see what a sweet old fellow I can be.
And while you're knocking that back, old fellow, bear this in mind. Since I now know there's such a fellow in my district, you may count I'll have an eye upon you day and night. I'm not a doctor only, I'm a magistrate. And if I catch a breath of complaint against you, if it's only for a piece of incivility like this, I'll take effectual means to have you hunted down and routed. Good night.
They're all after me, Jim. They're all after me.
It was not very long after this that there occurred the first of the mysterious events that rid us, at last, of the captain. Though not, as you will see, of his affairs. It was a bitter cold winter, with hard frosts and heavy gales, and it was plain my poor father was little likely to see the spring. My mother and I had all the inn upon our hands, and we were kept busy enough without paying much regard to our unpleasant guest. It was one January morning, very early, the cove all grey with hoarfrost. The captain had risen earlier than usual and set out down the beach, his cutlass swinging under the broad skirts of his old blue coat, his brass telescope under his arm, his hat tilted back upon his head.
who...
That man there just walked down on the beach. That wouldn't be my old mate, Bill, would it?
Bill?
Mother was upstairs with Father and I was chopping wood outside when there stepped before me a man on whom I had never set eyes before. He was a pale, tallowy creature, and though he wore a cutlass, he did not look much like a fighter. I had always my eye open for seafaring men, with one leg or two, and I remember this one puzzled me. He was not sailory, and yet he had a smack of the sea about him, too.
Come here, sonny.
Sir?
Oh, I see what you're seeing. Oh, frightens you, does it? Oh, that's right, lad. I'm a man missing a couple of fingers. And you know why?
Why?
Because I didn't come fast enough when I was called. Now, come here!
Yes, sir.
That's better. Now, you know how I lost these fingers?
How?
To a beast. A feathered beast. A feathered beast and the human beast whose shoulder it sat upon. But since then, I've learnt how to bite back. Which is one of the several reasons they call me Black Dog. Now listen, young sir. The Bill I'm after would go around calling himself the Captain, as like as not. He has a cut on one cheek and a mighty pleasant way with him, particularly in drink. Now we'll put it, for argument-like, that your Captain has a cut on one cheek. And we'll put it, if you like, that that cheek's the right one. Now... Is it my old mate Bill just strolled down towards that beach?
I...
Well?
Yes, I think so.
And where would he head? And when would he head back?
Well...
Better yet, why don't you lead me down and show me?
No, get off!
Oh, don't fret, lad. No, I won't hurt you. Why, I've a son of my own as light as you as two blocks, and he's all the pride of my heart. But the great thing for boys is discipline, sonny. Discipline. I beat it into him, and I'll beat it into you, boy, if you don't lead the way.
There he is. Ah! There, sir, down there.
Why, so he is. Oh, what's he looking for with that spyglass, bless his old heart? Something that stood right behind him, maybe.
Tide's coming in, sir, coming in fast. Won't be no beach down there in 2 minutes flat. He'll be heading back to the Bembo any moment.
Then why don't we play him a little joke, just for old time's sake? Up for it, lad? A game?
What game?
Why? You see this cave here? Why don't I hide inside with this bit of stick here that I can tap around like? Why, like it were a one-legged man hobbling on a crutch? Wouldn't that be funny? And you can call the old fellow up here and we'll see the smile we put on his face.
No, I'm not.
Not? You'll do it, boy, if you don't want to feel this old claw of mine tight round your neck. Do it!
No.
Jim? Is that you up there?
Captain!
What are you doing, Jim?
I'm just...
What's that?
There's someone...
Wait.
He says he knows you.
What?
He says...
He knows me.
Bill.
What? No.
Bill.
No. No, not him. Not.
No, Bill. Not him. Just your old shipmate.
Black Dog.
And who else? Bill. We have seen a sight of times, us two, since I lost them two talons.
So, you've run me down. Well then, speak up. What is it?
Oh, well, why don't we wander up to the Admiral Benbow there? Let this young man here pour us both a glass of rum. And then sit down, if you please, and talk square, like old shipmates.
I'm no shipmate of yours. Not anymore. What we had to say to one another was said long since.
Well, if you won't speak to me, Billy, you might find yourself speaking to some other old shipmates, some of them much less friendly than me.
A threat, Black Dog.
Oh, a friendly one, maybe.
Backed up with what? Three fingers round the hilt of a cutlass.
If they hold tight enough, Bill, they might even find a way to even the odds.
I never bet on you in a fight in the old days. I'm not betting on you now.
Captain!
Stand clear, Jim. This is old business, and no business of yours.
We could still talk it over like businessmen, Billy.
No. This is the end of it. I've gone far enough, and if it comes to swinging, with a sword or from a rope, then swing all, say I. Hooray!
No, Captain!
Stand back, Jim. Stand back!
You've got soft-eyed in your old age, Bill. What's it done for your sword play?
Watch, you'll see.
No, not that way, Captain. The tide's coming in. The tide!
It's how sentimental I am where you're concerned.
Wait, Billy! Wait! The waves! The waves, Billy! Oh, my God, Billy! You'll drown us both before you strike me down!
If I could know, certain, I was drowning you with me, pinning you tight to that seabed, I'd die happier than not. You old rock.
Billy! Billy, listen, we don't need to...
Where's my sword, Jim? Where's my sword?
I still got mine, Bill.
Captain, behind you!
I won't go down that easy. Black Dog.
Without a sword, you'll go down soon enough.
Here, Captain.
What?
Your sword. Catch!
Got you!
No!
There! That's more my kind of oath.
No! Don't kill me, Billy!
And why wouldn't I? When these waves are clamoring to carry you away so I don't even have to look at your miserable carcass.
You should know, Bill. You should remember. Nothing that goes down in them depths doesn't get spat up sooner or later. Who among us hasn't seen the dead rise, causing all kinds of trouble to them upon there?
Maybe you're right. Maybe a scar or two is enough to be sending you on with.
Captain!
There. Go. Tell them you goes blubbering too. They can expect the same.
But they're not so tender and delicate as me, Bill. As well you know.
Then it's in your best interest to tell them nothing. Now go.
I'm going. But think, Bill. Think on who might be coming next.
Go.
Keep an eye out for Pew, Bill. You hear? An eye out for Pew.
Pew. My God. Pew.
Captain, are you all right?
I must get away from here. Now. Before. But first, a gulp of rum, I think. A gulp or two. Help me back, Jim. Help me back.
Captain?
There's a shiver in me, suddenly. And I don't think it's just the soaking I took from these waves.
This way, Captain, this way.
Rum! Rum! Show a dying man some mercy!
Through here, Captain. I'll get you your rum.
What's all this commotion? Jim! Don't you lift these upstairs with your father? We don't need more of this uproar.
There's something wrong with him, Ma. Something...
Rum!
One last bit of warmth in my belly before they dragged me down to coldest hell.
Dear dearie me, what a disgrace upon the house. And your poor father sick.
Pew! Silver. The black. Black.
What now?
He's sick, Ma. Fetch the doctor. Ma, fetch Dr. Livesey.
Oh, honestly. Dr. Livesey.
Pass me the rum. The rum.
Rum, indeed, as if he doesn't take enough rum off us when he's upright.
Quickly! Captain!
Tell me if he's dead, I'll stop pouring.
Quick, Ma, quick!
Here! He hasn't quite drunk us dry yet. Let him get the rest of what we got down his throat.
Give it here. Here, Captain. Drink. He's not drinking!
Not drinking? You mean there's something actually wrong with him?
Ma!
What on earth is...
Doctor, it's the Captain. I think he's dying. Look, he won't even drink.
Really? That is worthy of note.
His teeth are tight shut. Out there on the beach, a man attacked him with a sword. I think he's wounded.
Wounded? I hope he's not bleeding on my floor.
Wounded? Where? Let me see.
Well, I can't see. I can't see anything. But still, look at him, Doctor.
I am looking. Wounded? The fiddlestick's end. No more wounded than you or I. The man has had a stroke, as one might have foreseen. Now, Mrs. Hawkins, just you run upstairs to your husband and tell him, if possible, nothing about it. For my part, I must do my best to save this fellow's trebly worthless life. Jim, you get me a basin.
Over there, Jim. I'll get up to your father.
Now, let's get a look at the fellow's arm. Quick cut and a rip and... Let's see. My, my. Here's a sea dog's arm indeed. You got that basin, Jim?
Here, Doctor.
We'll set it there and take a look at a fine array of heraldic insignia.
Sir?
The tattoos. Look. Here's luck. A fair wind. Billy Bones his fancy. Very neatly executed. And what's this up here?
A gallows, is it?
And a fellow hanging from it. In anticipation, no doubt, of his own likeliest future. If the next stroke doesn't get him first. And now, Master Billy Bones, if that be your name... We'll have a look at the colour of your blood. Jim, are you afraid of blood?
No, sir, not really.
Well, that's good enough for me. Now, you hold the basin while I apply the lancet. Here. Just hold it steady, Jim.
Steady, yes. Is he waking up?
Just hold the basin steady.
Doc? Jim?
Lie still.
Blood? My blood?
Red as any man's. How reassuring. Well, I think we've seen enough of it. Now just keep still while I patch you up.
Black Dog!
Black
Dog? Where is he? Black Dog!
Lie still, there is no Black Dog here. Except what you have on your own back. You've been drinking rum and picking fights and earned yourself a stroke. And I have just, very much against my own will, dragged you headforemost out of the grave. Now, Mr. Bones...
Bones? That's not my name.
But much I care. It's the name of a buccaneer of my acquaintance, and I call you by it for the sake of shortness. And what I have to say to you is this. One glass of rum won't kill you, but if you take one, you'll take another, and another. And I stake my wig if you don't break off short. Come, now I've drawn enough blood to keep you quiet for a while, I'll help you to your bed, with the parting reminder that the name of rum for you is death. Come, Jim. Lend a hand.
That ain't the name of death, Doctor. Not for me.
About noon, I stopped at the captain's door with some cooling drinks and medicines. He was lying very much as we had left him, only a little higher, and he seemed both weak and excited.
Jim, you're the only one here that's worth anything. And you know I've always been good to you. Now, you see me, mate, I'm low. And deserted by all, and Jim. You'll bring me one knock in a rum now, won't you, matey?
The doctor said...
So doctors. Doctors is all swabs. You know that doctor there? Why? What do we know about seafaring men?
I've been in places hot as pitch. And mates dropping round with yellow jack on a blessed land heaving like the sea with earthquakes. What do the doctor know of lands like that? I lived on rum, I tell you. It's been meat and drink and man and wife to me. And if I'm not to have my rum now, I'm a poor old hulk on a lee shore. My blood'll be on you, Jim, and that doctor's swab. Look, Jim, and my fingers fidges. I can't keep 'em still. If I don't have a drain of rum, Jim, I'll have the horrors. I've seen some of 'em already. I've seen old Flint in that corner there behind you, as plain as print.
Flint?
Captain Flint! Think on it, Jim. If I get the horrors, I'm a man that has lived rough. And I'll raise Cain. Your doctor himself said one glass wouldn't hurt me. I'll give you a golden guinea for a noggin, Jim.
I want none of your money but what you owe my father. And my father being sicker and fainter than ever, he's owed a bit of peace and quiet too. With that in mind, I'll fetch you one glass and no more.
I'd fetch it myself, Jim, but as you see... By the by, how long did that doctor say I was to lie in this old berth?
A week.
A week?
A week at least.
Thunder! I can't do that! They'd have the black spot on me by then. The lubbers is going to get about the wind of me this blessed moment. Lubbers as couldn't keep what they got and want to nail what is mine. Is that seemingly behaviour now? I want to know. But I'll trick him again. I'm not afraid of him. I'll shake out another reef, matey, and daddle him again. Jim, you saw that seafaring man today.
Black Dog.
Black Dog. He's a bad un. But there's worse to put him on. Now, if I can't get away nohow, and they take me the black spot, mind you, it's my old sea chest they're after. You see it there?
The chest, yes.
Well then, that come to pass. You get on a horse and go to that eternal Dr. Swab and tell him to pipe all hands, magistrates and all. Tell him he'll catch all Flint's crew aboard here at the Admiral Benbow. All of them that's left. I was first mate, you see. Old Flint's first mate. And I'm the only one as knows the place.
The place?
He gave it me at Savannah when he lay dying. But you won't peach unless they get the black spot on me or unless you see that black dog again. Him or a seafaring man with one leg. Jim, him above all.
But what is the black spot, Captain?
The black spot? It's a summons, mate.
A summons? A summons to what?
A summons, Jim. To the deepest waters a man can sink in. A summons to...
Jim? Jim?
Ma?
It's your father. Jim, come quick.
I have to... I'm coming, Ma.
The rum, Jim. Don't forget the rum. Don't leave me here with the... With the horrors.
You see, I have to go and fetch the doctor. See for yourself, Jim. Your poor father. Your poor, stupid, sickly father.
You want me to go for the doctor, Ma?
No, you stay. I need a breath of air. I've been watching him die too long already. I'll be back soon.
Yes, Ma.
Jim.
Pa?
Is that you, son?
Yes, Pa, it's me.
Good lad. Am I dead yet?
Dead? No. No, Pa.
No? And why is it so dark?
It's not so dark.
It's dark. It's dark as the deep. Deep itself. Jim. I shut that door so tight on the sea outside. That deep ocean. It's leaking in, Jim. seeping through the floorboards and lapping round the bed. It's drowning me. It's drowning me. Drift time. Drifting away. Away into the... My hand, Jim. Take my hand.
Here, Pa.
Is that your hand, Jim?
Yes, Pa.
Why is it so cold?
Cold?
Is it my hand that's as cold as that? Yeah, maybe, maybe.
Pa.
Jim, listen.
Rum! Rum! Jim! Why is that rum?
Who is
it? It's nothing, Pa, nothing. Just a moment, I'll get your rum.
What's that? Where are you, Jim?
Listen to me, Jim. Listen. Shut your door against the sea. Shut your windows and build your walls against that sea. The sea is cold with sharks. It's hot with storms. It scars and it drowns. And I won't have no boy of my own lost upon it, you hear?
Who's up there? Shouting like a deck hand in a gale. Who? Who?
Do you hear me, Jim?
I hear you.
Good, good. Because that tide is climbing over your old father's drowning head. And
it ain't Pew, is it? Black dog? Black spot. Come for me. Have you? Have you?
Shut up!
What?
Pa.
See. See. Oh, deep. Deep.
Pa. Pa.
The horrors, Jim. I got the horrors. I see him coming. Coming. That's there. Coming.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
My poor father's death put all other matters on one side. Our natural distress, the visits of the neighbours, the arranging of the funeral, and all of the work of the inn kept me so busy that I had scarcely time to think of the captain. He got downstairs next morning and had his meals as usual, though he ate little and had more, I'm afraid, than his usual supply of rum. For he helped himself out of the bar, and no one dared to cross him.
Fifteen men on a dead man's chest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink, and the devil had done for the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
On the night before the funeral, he was as drunk as ever, and it was shocking in that house of mourning to hear him singing away. But we were all in the fear of death for him. And the doctor was suddenly taken up with a case many miles away and was never near the house after my father's death. The captain, all this while, seemed to grow weaker than regain his strength. He clambered up and down stairs and went from the parlour to the bar and back again, and sometimes put his nose out of doors to smell the sea, holding on to the walls for support and breathing hard and fast like a man on a steep mountain.
Fifteen men am stiff and stark. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. 10 of the crew had the murder. Murder. Mark. Yo ho ho. And
he never particularly addressed me, and it is my belief he had as good as forgotten his confidences. But his temper was more flighty, and allowing for his bodily weaknesses, more violent than ever.
Murder, is it? Mate? Murder? Where are you? Where are you?
He had an alarming way now when he was drunk, of drawing his cutlass and laying it bare before him on the table. But with all that, he minded people less and seemed shut up in his own thoughts and rather wandering.
10 of the crew had the murder, Mark. Yo ho ho. Bottle of rum.
So things passed until the day after the funeral, and about 3 o'clock of a bitter, foggy, frosty afternoon, I was standing at the door for a moment, full of sad thoughts about my father, when I saw someone drawing slowly near along the road.
Come, children, learn to fear the Lord, and that your days
Let not a false and spiteful word be found upon your tongue.
He was plainly blind, for he tapped before him with a stick, and wore a great green shade over his eyes and nose. And he was hunched as if with age or weakness, and wore a huge old tattered sea cloak with a hood that made him appear positively deformed. I never saw in my life a more dreadful looking figure.
Someone there? Hey? Hey? Answer me.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, he says. I hear a voice, do I? Yes, a young voice. Will that young voice inform an old blind man who has lost the precious sight of his eyes, all in the gracious defence of his native country, and God bless King George, where, or in what part of this country he finds himself?
You're at the Admiral Benbow, sir, Black Hill Cove.
The Admiral Benbow? Why, the very place I seek. Will you give me your hand, my kind young friend, and lead me in?
In?
You'll offer shelter to an old blind man, surely. Your hand, lad. Give it here. Or do I have to sniff it out and take it for myself? Now, young man, take me to the captain.
Sir, sir, upon my word, I dare not.
And do you dare to have your arm wrenched out at the root, boy, for I'm a man as has done that a time or two.
No, sir, no.
Then take me then straight.
The captain, sir, he sits, I warn you, with a drawn cutlass.
But I'm an old and dear friend. He'll drop that sword when he sees me. Now lead me straight up to him, you hear? And when I'm in view, cry out, listen, here's a friend for you, Bill. And if you don't, why, I might just tear those two good eyes out of your head, pop them in my own skull, and see the way myself. Come now. Come on. March.
Oh, please, sir.
That him, boy? That him snoring? There by the fire. Is it, boy? Is it?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Sleeping off the rum, is he?
Yeah, yes.
I can hear him from here, like a babe in the crib burbling milk. What a shame to wake him up. Still, he won't be awake for long. Go on, lad. Say what I told you, go on. Well, you've still got a tongue in your head I haven't bitten out. Go on. Yeah.
Here's a friend for you, Bill. Ah! Here's a friend for you.
What? Who? Pew.
No, Bill. No sense in you jumping around. If I can't see you, I can still hear every shift and shiver of your miserable bones. Why, Bill? I rather think I can smell your fear just at this moment.
Pew, listen to me.
I'm not here to listen. I'm here to pass a certain something.
No!
Oh, yes, Bill. Business is business. Hold out your left hand. Quick. Are you doing it, boy? Hey.
Yes.
Good. Now listen, boy. I want you to take his left hand by the wrist and bring it near to my right. And I want you to do it now.
Do it, Jeb. Do it.
Captain.
Do it. There we go. That's better, shipmates. Here. Let me just press this into your sweaty palm, Bill. And what needs doing here is done. You got it, Bill? You got it?
Yes.
Then I've done all that needs doing for the moment. When the next moment requiring my presence comes along, well, keep your eyes open for old Pew. He'll be right there. Until then, enjoy the time left you. Don't worry, lad. Old Pew will tap his own way out.
Captain, are you...
10.
Captain?
10 o'clock. 10. 6 hours. 6. 6.
Captain, are you all right?
All right, Jim. I had 6 hours. 6 whole... That clock, Jim. That wretched clock. Why is it so loud?
The clock, Captain, it's not...
Yes, it is. So loud. So loud. So...
Captain? Captain!
My haste was all in vain. The captain had been struck dead by thundering apoplexy. It is a curious thing to understand, but as soon as I saw that he was dead, I burst into a flood of tears. It was the second death I had known, and the sorrow of the first was still fresh in my heart.
Oh, Captain...
Dead?
Shh. Yes. Over there, look.
Typical. Couldn't even die without knocking over my furniture.
Ma!
And as if that wasn't bad enough, he's gone and died owing me more back rent than I can easily tote up. Well, if he's got any of it on him or in his belongings, I'm claiming it.
Wait. Those friends of his, I think they want to make their own claim. And that blind man I talked about, he said he was coming back.
What?
It's just the fire, Ma. Just the fire.
Oh. Yeah. That's not the fire.
No, it's just the window rattling in the wind.
You sure it isn't someone you know?
Someone
trying to get in.
No, it's just... I think it's just...
You sure?
Mother!
Well, I'm just thinking.
Well, I'm thinking the same thing too, so don't make me think it any harder than I'm thinking it already.
I think maybe we ought to head down the road to the hamlet for a bit of help.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right.
Which way, Jim?
This way.
Bareheaded as we were, we ran out at once in the gathering evening and the frosty fog. The hamlet lay not many hundred yards away, though out of view, on the other side of the next cove. And what greatly encouraged me, it was in an opposite direction from that whence the blind man had made his appearance, and whither he had presumably returned. We were not many minutes on the road, though we sometimes stopped to lay hold of each other and hearken.
What's that?
Ma, quiet.
What is it?
The heron, I think.
Heron?
I think.
There, there wasn't no heron.
No.
Well, what then?
To all the reason we need to keep going.
What?
Go, come on, Ma, quick.
It was already candlelight when we reached the hamlet, and I shall never forget how much I was cheered to see the yellow shine in doors and windows. But that, as it proved, was the best of the help we were likely to get in that quarter.
Open up! Open up!
For you would have thought men would have been ashamed of themselves. No soul would consent to return with us to the Admiral Benbow. The more we told of our troubles, the more man, woman and child, they clung to the shelter of their houses.
What was the name that fellow mentioned? Flint. Captain Flint. I heard of Captain Flint. And I ain't taking nothing to do with no one else as has ever heard that name. Either they'll be as bad as him or set to be as dead.
What? Oh, no. No, not me. I was out in them fields far side of the Admiral Benbow, and what did I see just as the mist starts coming down? Strangers. A bunch of them rowing their way in off a lugger just round by Kit's Hull. Smugglers I took them for. Certainly didn't take them for no kind of men I wanted anything to do with. Smugglers. Black-hearted murderers, more like. They can murder you, but they're not murdering me.
And the short and the long of the matter was that while we could get several who were willing enough to ride to Dr. Livesey's, which lay in another direction, not one would help us to defend the inn. They say cowardice is infectious, but then argument is, on the other hand, a great emboldener. And so, when each had had his say, my mother made them a speech.
Listen! Listen, all of you! Whatever rogues might be on the loose here tonight, I won't lose no